When did the church begin? If we're going to look at the question, what is the church? It's very helpful for us to remember to look at the question, when did the church begin? And we're going to start today in Matthew 16, verse 18. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. Here is where Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, folks, there is no other way to look at this passage other than to say that the church before this time did not exist, and the church at the time that Jesus spoke these words was not in existence. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build my church." So that tells us two very important things. First of all, the church did not exist in the Old Testament. Abraham was a saved man, but Abraham was not in the church. Moses was a saved man, but Moses was never in the church. David was a saved man, but David was never in the church. These Old Testament people who died in a saved condition before God were not in the church because it had not yet been established. Secondly, this shows us that John the Baptist did not start the church. Now, there are a lot of people who still think that John the Baptist was the one who started the church, but he did not. He couldn't have, because in Matthew chapter 14, we read about John the Baptist dying. So when Jesus said these words in Matthew 16, verse 18, when he said, "I will build my church," John the Baptist was already dead. So John the Baptist was not in the church. John the Baptist certainly did not start the church. Jesus said, "I will build it." So when you look at Matthew 16, verse 18, it is absolutely clear that the church was going to be established sometime in the future. Now, as you continue to read, Jesus said, "The gates of hell, that is of death or Hades, shall not prevail against the church." Death will not conquer and overcome the church, which means that the church will live on. The church will survive until the end of time. And he said also in verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, in previous lessons, we have already looked at what the kingdom is, and we've seen that the kingdom is the church. The word kingdom and the word church are two different words for the same thing. You see, the church is called the kingdom. The church is called the household of God. The church is called the kingdom of heaven. The church is called the vineyard of God. They're different names that represent different illustrations of the church. And the kingdom of heaven is a description or a title of the church. So Jesus said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom is the church. Now, let's turn over to Mark chapter 9, the book of Mark chapter 9. And here we find a very important verse about when that kingdom or church would be established. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Notice the time element here involved. "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, that is, they shall not die, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Jesus promised that there would be people standing right there with him while he was speaking in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, who would live to see the coming of the kingdom. And notice that he said that the kingdom would come with power. It will come with power, and it will come in the lifetime of some of the people who were standing right there. Let's turn next to Luke chapter 24, the book of Luke chapter 24, and here we find some of the final words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended back up into heaven. In Luke chapter 24, verse 47, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. "And you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Now, what promise is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. But he said, tarry ye, that is, wait ye, in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, what would happen in connection with this coming of power upon the disciples? Well, the kingdom would come. The kingdom would come with power, and the power is part of the promise that God gave to these disciples about the Holy Spirit. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to find here a wonderful commentary on what we've just read. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 1 of Acts 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. There it is again. But wait for the promise of the Father. You see, that is exactly what we just read in Luke chapter 24. Wait for the promise of the Father. Now, what is that promise? Well, he goes on to explain. Which, saith he, you have heard of me? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's Acts 1, verses 1 through 5. Now, I want you to look at verse 8. The Bible tells us in verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This harmonizes perfectly with Matthew, Mark, and Luke as they talk about what we call the Great Commission. The disciples waited in Jerusalem. They waited for the promise of the Father. What was that promise? The coming of the Holy Spirit, a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says they received this special power. So the question is, when did the disciples receive the promise of the Holy Spirit? When were they baptized with the Holy Ghost? And all we have to do is to turn to Acts chapter 2. Here are the disciples waiting in the city of Jerusalem, just like Jesus told them to do. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now the Spirit has come upon these disciples, just like Jesus said the Spirit would come upon them and give them this special power. And what did they do? They began to preach the gospel. They preached to this audience of people, and the Bible tells us that Peter concluded in verse 36 with these words, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're in a lost condition. We're guilty of sin. What do we do about this sinful condition that we're in? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now let's go back to what Jesus told Peter and these disciples in Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. He said, I'm going to build my church. And he said, I'm going to give you the keys of that kingdom. Well, now the Holy Spirit has come upon these apostles. They've been given this special power. Now they're preaching the gospel. These people want to know what to do. And Peter uses the keys. He opens up the door to the kingdom of heaven by telling these people how to be saved. Somebody says, well, how is that the same as getting into the church? Well, the rest of the chapter explains that. Because the Bible says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." 3,000 people then were added to the number of these apostles. Added to what number? The number regarding what? The number of saved people, the number of people who were now in the church. How do we know that? Because verse 47 tells us, "These people who had been saved from their sins by repenting and being baptized were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Bible tells us here in verse 47 that the people who were added to the church were people that were saved. So who is in the church? What people are in the church? People who have been saved according to what the Bible tells us in verse 38 and 41. The Lord added to the church such as should be saved, and he did that on a daily basis, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Now, you'll not find the church in existence before this point. Jesus talked about the church in his lifetime, but the church was not established during the lifetime of John the Baptist or even of Jesus. Jesus had to die on the cross and be resurrected and then ascend back up into heaven and then send the Holy Spirit in order for the church to be established. The church began in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost Day almost 2,000 years ago. Now later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 11, Peter had gone to the house of some Gentile people, the household of Cornelius. And when some of the Jewish Christians found out about that, they criticized Peter. Peter defended himself in Acts chapter 11. He explained why he was there. He told these Jewish Christians that it was because of a vision that he had seen and that the Lord wanted him to go down to the house of Cornelius. And it's very interesting how he described that visit. In Acts chapter 11, and verse 15, Peter says that while he began to preach to this household of Gentile people, Acts 11, verse 15, he says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." I want you to underscore those words. Think about those words with me. The beginning. The beginning of what? What kind of beginning is Peter talking about here? He's going back to Acts 2, isn't he? He's going back to the time when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, that is, the apostles. And he says, in this occasion, in Acts chapter 11, verse 15, that the Holy Ghost fell on them, that is, on these Gentiles, as on us at the beginning. The beginning of what? That has to be the beginning of the church, the beginning of the Christian age. And so here in Acts chapter 11, verse 15, we find a somewhat incidental reference to the beginning of the church of Christ.